Hello and welcome to episode 6 of The Only Way is Reading, a podcast brought to you by Essex Library Services. We are dedicated to bringing you great book recommendations and interest stories with a library twist. I'm Beth, and in this episode, Freya and I are discussing books with a connection to Essex for our book bingo challenge. Freya spoke to Joy, a local Essex poet, about her poetry and work on a local project called Essexism, and I spoke to our friends from Libraries Unlimited down in Devon and Torbay about their lockdown podcast. And since this is our last episode of this series, we will be looking back on the book bingo challenge and how it has changed us as readers. So Freya, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. I'm so sad that this is the end of the series. I've had such a good time pioneering this with you. And also, I am really excited to hear what you were reading this week.
So I read Strange Magic by Sid Moore, which is book one of the Essex Witch Museum mysteries. It follows Rosie Strange, a realist and basically a sceptic, who inherits her grandfather's run-down witchcraft museum in Essex. It's actually set in the area that I live, so it's cool to hear about places that I actually recognise. So on her first visit to the museum, she meets a professor who requests the help of her and the museum curator to uncover the remains of a well-known witch. This book was really, really interesting. I'm completely fascinated by a kind of pagan and Wicca history, and obviously Essex is completely ripe with that. So being involved in a mystery surrounding it was really cool. It also really helped that the main character wasn't an expert on the subject. So you got the information in kind of an easy to digest way without it being really patronising or condescending. There are witches and ghosts, and there's even, you know, children that are possessed and all these things, and they're described so clearly that you believe that you're actually witnessing them. Sid Moore is also amazing at knowing when to end a chapter, because every time I told myself, oh, just read one more chapter, I literally couldn't. I just had to carry on.
I absolutely love books like that, and I really enjoy when supernatural writings have that kind of element of realism. Would you say that if you were completely not a skeptic at all, you could believe that these things were happening in your real
100%.
World right now?
Like, she does it in such a way, it's almost like she's not trying to fantasize that these things could happen. She's not elaborating and making it, you know, oh, there was a glowing specter that walked into the room and spoke to me. She does it so kind of step by step that you're being taken through the whole experience. So by the time anything actually happens, you completely are immersed in that scene. What about you? What did you?
I read Rivers of London by Ben Aronovich. And a lot of the novel was set in Greater London and Essex, as they travelled to a lot of different crime scenes. Special shout out though, as they did come to Colchester, and I was really excited when I was listening to the audiobook and I heard that it came on. The novel itself follows police officer Peter Grant, a young copper in the Metropolitan Police, who had a very unexpected encounter with a ghost and then was recruited into a small branch of the Met that deals with magic and all things supernatural. Now, I did take this next bit off the internet, but I think it sums up the plot much better than I could. Peter Grant, having become the first English apprentice wizard in over 70 years, must immediately deal with two different but ultimately interrelated cases. In one, he must find what is possessing ordinary people and turning them into vicious killers, and in the second, he must break a peace between the two warring gods of the River Thames and their respective families. I've listened to the first three books in this series, and honestly, if somebody could create my perfect book series, this would be it. The characters are so well developed, and every single one of them has been given care and attention. And the plot isn't one of those where the same theme is drawn out across five books. It's really fast paced, and one of the only books where I couldn't guess the plot twist, which, as I said in an earlier episode, is my weird superpower that I absolutely hate.
Because obviously, having it with the Metropolitan Police, do you actually get the sense that this could potentially be a secret organisation within the Met, or is it kind of in a fantasy world?
Oh, no, 100%. Like, it is completely steeped in realism. So, you know, you have kind of them having to go through all of the red tape and things like that in order to, you know, go and see somebody who's been possessed, or they have to radio in a demon, but they have to do it in a way to say that it's kind of somebody who's maybe not mentally well. And they're like, they're running through the town, they're dangerous, they've got a knife, in order to get the police officers to watch out for them, but not to approach them, because obviously they're magic. So yeah, I would say, just like yours, completely real and believable, and I would recommend it to anybody, because it's just so good. It's just so good.
I think what we've shown, though, is Essex is a very supernatural place. I know there's so much stuff in history around this kind of thing. So it's really cool that there's loads of literature out there actually that's really exploring it, and it's kind of giving you that other idea of what actually Essex is about, because obviously there are so many stereotypes that people apply to it, and it's not always, well, supernatural and pagan and ghosts and witches isn't what comes to most people's minds. So it's really cool that this is being explored.
100%. Like, we have such a rich history and are kind of known for, you know, the Matthew Hopkins witch finder general and all of that, and I think it's really good to have a lot of literature that sort of dispels those beliefs. And it's actually really interesting because that is one of the things that I spoke to Joy about with her project Essexism in the interview.
Oh yeah, of course. How did that go?
Yeah, it was really, really good. I'm really excited for you guys to hear it.
Okay, here it is.
I'm here with Joy M. Louisa, a teacher and performance poet from Ockenden, who is here to speak with us about poetry, Essexism, and getting inspired by our beautiful landscape. Welcome, Joy. It's a real pleasure to have you here with us.
Hi, it's lovely to be here.
So I first heard about you and your work through the Essexism Project, founded by Mark Massey. This is an amazing project challenging the stereotypes put upon women from Essex. Can you tell me a little bit about this, how you got involved, and how this theme inspired your piece, Snapping the Stiletto?
Yeah, sure. So it all kind of started, I went to see a play at the Queen's Theatre in Hornchurch, which was part of whole Essex culture looking at various stereotypes. It was a really awesome play. I really, really enjoyed it. I didn't expect to be so inspired, as in I cried, I laughed, and it was about different women of different ages living in Essex and how they had been brought up and the things that they valued. So it was really interesting. I kind of got inspired by that. And I was speaking to my friend and we were I was telling her about this play. She'd actually told me about the play before, actually. And we were talking about it and she told me about the things that happens to her. I'm middle-aged, she's a lot younger than me. And she was telling me how she is viewed because she looks a certain way, but they don't actually know anything about her. We tend to do that anyway. And I think that's part of our human nature. We do tend to kind of prejudge. We shouldn't. And, you know, I try not to, but I'm not saying that I don't, because I think it is just something we do. But particularly in Essex, there is this whole persona of an Essex girl, you know, dancing around the handbag, stilettos, white stilettos, and talks in a certain way. And certainly when I was younger, and still now, actually, I still get that label, but particularly when I was younger. And it's this Essexism project is all about breaking that stereotype. And I was mentioning it to one of my colleagues at work, and he sent me a link to Mark's page that he'd read on BBC, on the BBC News actually, and he said, "Oh, this is exactly what you were talking about." So I kind of got inspired by my friend and the way that she was perceived, and this play, which is by Sadie Hasler, and you know, if you get a chance to see it, go, because it's amazing. And that inspired me, and I wrote this poem, and then I contacted Mark on Twitter actually and said, "I don't know if you're interested, but I've written a poem about exactly, you know, your topic, the things that you're talking about." It's actually a photography exhibition. He's a photographer, but he is actually currently still looking for subjects. When I sent him the poem, he really liked it and said, "Oh, that's great. Would you mind, you know, if we used it, could it be part of the exhibition?" And obviously I was thrilled. So we met up, my friend and I, and we had a photo shot in the exotic location of a playground in Basildon. And that's part of the project. There are so many amazing women in this project, but he's still looking for other women. So, you know, if there are any women out there, particularly women that do a job that is traditionally thought of as a job for men, so things like mechanics, firefighters, I know he's looking for trans women as well, actually. Anyone that kind of breaks that stereotype of an Essex girl. So
oh, brilliant.
That's really cool. Yeah, so really exciting.
Yeah, I was wondering as well, because I absolutely love the poem you wrote. I was wondering if you would mind us now.
Yeah, absolutely. So my poetry is kind of performance poetry. So I like to kind of just stand there and say my poems rather than reading them. And I'll do that now. So it's called Snapping the Stiletto. An Essex girl, Basildon born, bleached blonde hair, 5 kids, and one on the way, judged by society. Look below the surface. She is a warrior, a working mother, an academic who juggles life and love with mother's guilt, an angel of womankind delivering life. You do not see what I see, a young, strong, intelligent woman, the chosen life choices, the snap of the stiletto, a woman I am privileged to call my friend. Thank you.
Oh, that was beautiful. I absolutely, my favourite line, and I have read this over several times. I love that. My favourite section actually is the look below the surface. She's a warrior, a working mother, an academic who juggles work and love with mother's guilt. I think it's just the most beautiful way to sort of sum up not only the guilt that a woman feels, but also judgment and everything like that. And I thought it was so succinct and like just absolutely like hits the core straight away and says exactly what you wanted it to say.
Thank you. Yeah, I am so proud of it. I'm proud of her as well, actually. I mean, she is in her 30s. She has 6 children now, because obviously that baby's been born. And she has 2 degrees that she did all, which is a midwife, but she's also got an English degree. And she did all of that while raising her children. But people don't see that. They just see that she's got 6 children now. And she's blonde and she's from Basildon. And that's all they see. So I kind of wanted exactly to talk about below the surface. We so often judge when we have no idea.
Yeah, and I think it's just great, and I thought really raw and really emotional as well. And my next question is, if you had any sort of wisdom you would want to impart on a budding creative, be that someone writing poetry or blogging, just somebody who really wants to kind of spend the time to tap into the more creative side of themselves.
Yeah, sure. So at the moment, we're kind of, as much as, you know, we're in this awful situation, COVID has been good in the fact that you can watch an awful lot online. So there are a lot of poets about at the moment that are putting their poetry and their writing online. I would say that's probably one of the best things, is to listen to other poets. You know, I love watching other poets. Look at people like Holly McNish. So a lot of young poetry, Luke Wright, he's great. Kind of go onto Instagram or go onto Google and just Google poets, particularly performance poets, and you'll see there's an array of things. Also, there are lots of poetry groups around. So I'm a member of the Southend Poetry Group and the Colchester Poetry Group, and members post their poems and you kind of get inspiration from that. And they post things where, you know, so there are competitions and things. The main thing I think is, for me, definitely, and I think all poets, you want to connect with your audience. You want to tell a story. I always say all poets, no matter who they are, want to tell a story. They've written that poem for a reason. So I think when you're writing, if you're writing from your heart, you can't go wrong. If it's something that you feel really strongly about, then I think it works, because it's from you. And also to kind of remember, it doesn't matter who you are. If you write a poem and it means something to you, then you are a poet. I went recently, or last year actually, to see some women poet in London, well-known women poets. And they were just so incredible and their writing was so beautiful. And I kind of got a little bit, usually when I go to open mics, I'm really enthusiastic and I feel really inspired. And I kind of felt a bit deflated, which really shocked me, because I kind of felt like I wasn't good enough. And then I had a little word with myself and kind of just said exactly what I've said to you. It doesn't matter who you are, because they were, you know, they were professors of English in New York and they had all these very learned titles. And then, but actually, having said that, Gillian Clarke, who's a really well-known poet, she did a little poem and it was really short, but it was the one that got the most reaction because it was the most emotive. You know, you could hear the audience sort of, oh, you know, it was just really lovely. And while these other poets were incredible, I don't think that emotion was there as much, although it was very, very clever. So then, as I say, I sort of had a little word with myself, and actually I wrote a retort called Women of Poetry. And that kind of says, you know, actually at the end of that poem, it kind of says, do you know what? I am the same. You know, I feel the same. I am the same. So don't think that you're, you know, if you write something, oh, it's not good enough. If you believe in that poem, then it is good enough. And I think sometimes we beat ourselves up a little bit. I know I do, with things like that. So yeah, just write from your heart. And there is so much to see online, and just read, you know, people like Benjamin Zephaniah, who I've already mentioned, Lem Sesse, he's a fantastic poet. Just have a little look around. There are so many free gigs online. Holly McNish has put quite a few on, Luke Wright, and just watch them, because I find watching other people inspires me. So yeah, that's what I would say. And blogging, I absolutely love it. And I just kind of sit down. Sometimes I know exactly what I'm going to write about. Sometimes I haven't a clue, and I sit down and somehow it all just spills out. I don't really write long blogs, because I know if I read a long blog, I get a little bit fed up. So I try and keep it shorter, because I think we have such busy lives, you know, just a nice sitting down for a cup of coffee with 5 minutes. Which probably that's all it takes for my blog. It's just, you know, just a nice little bit of escapism. And sometimes you read things, I'm like, yeah, absolutely, I agree with that. So yeah, you know, I just talk about things that I've done that week. I mean, no doubt in this week's blog, I'll say that I've, you know, continued viewing this podcast. So, you know, just things that happen, or, you know, and I get inspired by strangers as well. Sometimes when I overhear things, I get inspired by that. I post my things online. So, you know, post your poems online. I would say the poetry world is really complementary with each other, because we're all coming from the same place. When, you know, before lockdown and I go to open mics, you know, the talent that we've got in Essex is incredible, you know, both old and young, and I get blown away every time. And everyone is just, you know, it's quite funny really, you know, they come up and say, you know, I love that poem. I'm like, oh, actually, I really love your poem. And people are just really, really kind, you know. So if, you know, that's another thing, be brave, go out there, you know, try an open mic. I only did one poem the first time. You know, I usually do about 15 minutes now, but to start off with, I just did that one poem. And, you know, you might surprise yourself. I know that I did. I was kind of, you know, I still, even, you know, when people are really kind, I'm just like, oh, that's so lovely. So yeah, just go for it. And just remember, it doesn't matter if it means something to you and you've written that poem, you're a poet.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Joy, for sitting down and talking with me about your poetry and about Essexism and all of that. It's been an absolutely phenomenal conversation. I've really enjoyed it. And you can find all of Joy's blog and everything down in the bio of this episode.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely to talk to you. Thank you. And just remember, just go for it. Just try, because you might surprise yourself.
Well, that sounded like a really great interview. She's obviously a really passionate writer as well, which is always great to see. I actually spoke to people outside of Essex, so it's quite nice to have. We've had loads of information about Essex, but also we've been hearing about library services across the UK, really. So I spoke to Callum, who works at Libraries Unlimited, which is the charity that kind of runs Devon and Torbay libraries, and we spoke about their podcast that they started up during lockdown.
I'm joined by Callum, the host of Libraries Unlimited podcast in Devon and Torbay. It's so great to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing really, really well, thank you. I'm one of the co-hosts. I co-host it with a colleague of mine called Lee, but I'm the only one here today, so yeah.
Yes. Yeah, which is really lovely. For those of you that don't know, we were invited to appear on Libraries Unlimited podcast a few weeks ago to talk about The Only Way Is Reading and basically how we were surviving in lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a long time ago now, though. So, because when we had you on, we were like in the midst of lockdown. Nothing was open. Everything was shut. Obviously, now everything's, you know, a tiny bit more relaxed. We're starting to get back into the library. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how things have changed for you guys.
Definitely. So would you just tell us a little bit about the podcast and kind of what inspired you to start it?
What inspired us to start it? Well, we were in lockdown. We were looking for stuff to do. we're trying to like really focus on our kind of digital output, and a podcast seemed like a really natural thing to kind of like hang our hat on. We felt like we could use it as an opportunity to talk to loads of different people, loads of different libraries, loads of different library services like yourselves. And kind of put it together in a nice, hopefully entertaining package for people. So the main kind of concept is just, it's called the Libraries Unlimited podcast. And the reason for that is because Libraries Unlimited is a charity that runs the library service in Devon and Torbay. And we often feel like there's so much stuff going on in the libraries, almost too much. Like it's sometimes it's difficult to keep a track on what's going on, whether it's book groups or children's groups or film clubs or you know fab labs, 3D printers. There's so much going on, and sometimes it's difficult to kind of convey that message. So we thought a nice podcast where each episode we tackled a different theme, a different topic, would be a good way to do it. So yeah, it was a really good time actually. We did 10 episodes and we did a nice little 10 episode package for the people, and it was good. It was really good.
Excellent. It was really interesting actually to hear all the different things that you were doing down in Devon and also what was happening in libraries across England and the UK. I think that's what's really been interesting for me during lockdown, just to see all the new initiatives that libraries are making.
Yeah, well, it's kind of because everybody's been in the same boat, you know, whether you're run by a charity or local government, everybody's in the same boat. Everybody's got their buildings shut, but they still want to kind of do the service. They still want people to have access to, you know, all of your resources. So like everybody's kind of in their own little pockets, but doing very similar things. Everybody's doing more YouTube videos, more Facebook videos, Twitter. Lots of people are doing podcasts. So like Bristol, I've got one, and obviously you guys, and there's a couple of others, Hertfordshire, I think. And so we're all just trying to get the word out. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get in touch with you guys like during the podcast, because it became very apparent that we're all trying to do the same things. And when we spoke, there was a lot of similarities between like how we were both feeling, you know, about the libraries being closed, how we felt the public were feeling about the libraries being closed. So it was just good to kind of feel that kind of solidarity between services.
Yeah, definitely. Have you did you enjoy making the podcast? I don't know if you've ever made a podcast before.
So I've never made a podcast, but I absolutely loved it. I loved it. So I kind of thought about making a podcast, you know, relatively early on in lockdown. I approached my colleague Lee. He has experience making podcasts, so he's done a couple of before, but I'd never had. And I just sort of wanted it, but it's something that I've always kind of thought about doing. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and you know, you always think, well, that sounds easy, doesn't it? That's just people talking. And, it turns out it wasn't that easy. It's not that natural to talk, you know, because you kind of, it's not that natural to talk, much like I'm doing now. I'm stuttering all over the place, but really enjoyed it. So the first episode was an interview with the Libraries Unlimited chief exec. And between kind of planning and executing the podcast was only a few days. We like really wanted to just get it done. We wanted to not think about it too much, not have too many planning meetings and work groups and do a survey of who's going to whatever. We just wanted to get it done, which means that the first episode is arguably a little bit rough. It's a bit rough and ready. It's a bit homemade, you know, but by sort of like episode two, episode three, you know, we really kind of got into our flow. And I think that was kind of the best way to do it, you know, just sort of go in. Let's get it done. But I absolutely loved making it. I loved working with Lee. It was something that I really looked forward to meeting, or, you know, either meeting new people like yourselves or talking with people with inside the company about, you know, really getting to grips with what they do. And it was really great. You know, just, it was kind of, you know, because we were all in lockdown, we're all sort of locked in our houses, and it was like a really good way to kind of remind yourself on what's going on and sort of reconnect you with other people. Yeah, so I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, almost feel like you're still connected with everyone.
Exactly, yeah. And kind of remind you what you're doing, like why you're there. So like we had this conversation with a gentleman who runs the Home Library Service in Devon, which is a service in which sort of volunteers go out to people who can't leave their house and take books to them. It's a really simple idea, but with it comes this whole sort of like sense of community, and you know, you're sort of tackling loneliness, and you have people who are really connecting with those that don't get a lot of interaction with people. And so sort of listening to him talk, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. That's really nice. And you know, I kind of want to get back to doing that sort of stuff. You know, as nice as it is just staring at your laptop all day on Zoom, you know, I wanted to go back to doing what we got paid to do. So it was really good to kind of talk to people about that.
Oh, great. So sort of what would you say has been the best thing about the podcast, and what's been the hardest thing?
So I would say the best thing was collating. So at the beginning of each podcast episode, we would do something that we like to call the news. And it basically, we put calls out to all 54 libraries in Devon and Torbay and said, if you've got anything you want to include in the podcast, send us a 1 minute clip of yourself. We'll put some music behind it and we'll put it in our news section. And it'd be a lie to say that we were flooded with people getting in touch. Sometimes I had to really chase them, but that was mainly because people were a bit apprehensive about recording their voice. The amount of times I heard, I've got this piece of news, but I won't record anything because I don't like my voice. I was like, nobody likes their voice. You're absolutely fine. But that was the best bit, because I got to hear about all the little, you know, bits of news from all over the county, from like really, really big news to, you know, we've got this author talk, and you know, it's a live Zoom author talk, you know, come and watch, like that's a pretty major event, to like the really small bits of news, like the first person to join the summer reading challenge, or there was one from a library from Ottery St Mary's, where during lockdown, like an 8-year-old completed the 100 book track challenge. and, you know, so got in touch with us over emails and was back and forth. And, you know, it's those little kind of bits of news, you know, that when you're in the library, you hear about every day somebody's done some reading challenge, book tracks here, you know, it's just sort of part of the job. But yeah, hearing about those little nuggets was I was like, oh, good. There's this, you know, there's clearly a kid at home like reading their books, and they were so excited that they get their parents to get in touch with us. And even though we're closed, we respond back and we send them certificates and whatnot. It was just really nice. But in terms of the challenges, I'd say that was kind of also the challenge. It was amazing how busy people were during lockdown. even though the libraries were closed, people were busy. So trying to arrange a time where people could sort of set aside an hour and come on and, you know, talk to us was quite challenging. And, you know, getting the podcast together we had a Friday deadline. We did 10 episodes and it was released every Friday. I suppose that's a good thing in a way that people were so busy, but like sometimes it got a bit kind of frustrating. It was like, just come for an hour. You'll be fine. People thought that it was a lot of work. I think people kind of heard, oh, I'm going on a podcast. I need to do 10 weeks worth of prep. And it was like, no, just come and we'll have a chat. But yeah, so that was the best and that was the hardest. I'm sure you can sympathise with both of those things, really.
Yes, absolutely. Mine was normally tech. It was people trying to work from home remotely and their microphones weren't working or all the various Wi-Fi problems. And that was probably our one.
In our first ever episode, so again with Alex, my tech is terrible. So I use the microphone in my laptop and it sounds like I'm sort of trapped in a tin can. And then I spent like the next few days experimenting with all the different microphones in my house. And as you can see, this rather fetching sort of headset that I've got is an old PlayStation 4, you know, but it's the clearest microphone I have. So you're just going to have to deal with it.
That's absolutely fine. It's nicer than my fancy call center looking one.
I was about to say, you're looking very professional. You look like, please hold. How can I help you today? But you know, it looks good. Whereas I look like I'm playing like Call of Duty. Like,
That's to be fair, that's my out of office headset. That is what I wear, except mine's Xbox, not PlayStation.
Okay. Well, we all have our faults.
So I know that you've recently finished your final episode,
yes,
which was as a video, which was so great to watch. It was really nice to see you and Lee and kind of the relationship that you guys have together. That was really cool. But is the podcast kind of a one-off thing for lockdown, or are you thinking about continuing it in the future?
So it's kind of a bit of both. So the podcast, the lockdown podcast, it's over. We did 10 episodes. Kind of the amount of time that it took, you know, once the library started to open. So I work at Exeter Library, and it opened on the 27th of July, and then suddenly I'm in the library again, and I'm greeting customers and sorting out staff, and you know, doing library stuff. So there's not a lot of, you know, sort of time left over, and it's the same for Lee. But we loved it so much that we were thinking about bringing it back for specials. So like a Christmas special or like a summer reading challenge special, maybe next year, you know, kind of once or twice a year, just kind of bringing it out of the bag. Staff seem to really appreciate it. And you know, and also it's quite a good way. We've found that if you were thinking about joining the library service actually as a member of staff, it's quite a good thing to kind of, I know that we had a mobile library service post, you know, so when you're driving the vans to kind of like more rural areas of Devon, and we had a whole episode on the rural library service. So I know that that's actually been sort of like sent off, and maybe listen to this, you know, if you want a brief glimpse of what your life would be like as, you know, working for Libraries Limited. So it's definitely something that we want to kind of bring out the bag. 10 episodes was a lot though. it was a lot.
Yeah, we're settling on 6, I think. That's quite a round number.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of thing for us. I think now that it's set up, it's a really good resource. And it's just another way to kind of give that information a bit more of a personal thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think so too. Because a lot of the people that we had as interviewers who worked for Libraries Limited were more kind of like managers and I guess kind of back of house, how you describe it. Members of the public wouldn't really be able to meet these people or hear their voice. And it's nice to kind of put a personal touch to those job titles. Cause you know, more often than not, the kind of head office is seen as like an other. It's like classed as they, you know, and really what you're talking about is a room that have people in it who have, you know, who want things to do well, and but you rarely hear them kind of saying it from their voice, you know, from their own mouth. And so it was really nice to kind of hear the kind of senior managers be like, you know, hear their passion and hear their love for the service, and, you know, hear their justification for certain things. And, you know, I really enjoyed being able to do that and give that to people.
Yeah, I think that's what we've really enjoyed. It's almost that putting an actual human being behind the service.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Frontline staff are, you know, they're inherently human, because the public, that is the public's gateway to the service, you know, but there's a whole ream of people behind them that working hard to make sure things are going smoothly.
Yeah, definitely. And then I just have one final question. What are you reading at the moment?
So currently I am reading a book called The Wonders of Life, written by Brian Cox. It's the book that accompanied the TV series that he did roughly about 10 years ago. My big kind of reading thing is non-fiction science and graphic novels. That is what I read. That's what I can really sort of dive into. So yeah, I'm really enjoying reading that Wonders book, because the documentary series that he did, which I think is on iPlayer, or it's definitely on YouTube. So he's done The Wonders of the Solar System, Wonders of the Universe, and Wonders of Life. He's recently done something called The Planets. I think they're absolutely fantastic. They really dive into kind of, I don't know, they really make you feel connected to basically everything. Like, he talks about how, like, you know, without stars exploding, we wouldn't be here. And you're like, well, that's crazy. Well, I love it. So and also it's got pictures in it, this book. So so that's my kind of book with pictures. But yeah, that's what I'm reading at the moment.
That's great. I love Brian Cox. I just think he's so excited all the time, but in a really calm way.
I know, and it's so non-patronizing, like non-condescending. Every time he speaks, I'm like, if I had a teacher with half of your wonder, I love the word, you know, because these things are called the wonders of, and he really talks about everything with such wonder. He's just like, this is incredible. Like, oh my, you know, how, you know, if I had teachers of half that, who knows, I might be an astronaut by now. But education services let me down. I've got the headset for it. Well, no, I don't have the headset for an astronaut, but definitely in the control tower.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. So that's the dream.
Oh, great. So, Callum, thank you so much for coming back in to talk to us and for taking time out of your much busier schedule than the last time I spoke to you. It's been really great talking to you again.
No worries. Yeah, and same to you. I'm really glad that your podcast has kept going, and I've kept in touch with, like, what's going on in Essex libraries, and it's amazing, like, how many libraries you've got open and what you guys are doing over there. It's really, really special.
Yeah, hard work, but we're just happy to kind of be back to some weird form of normality at this point.
Yeah. Get the people their books. That's what we say. Get
them. Absolutely. Okay, well, thank you very much. We'll speak soon.
No worries. Bye.
I really enjoyed that interview. I thought it was really interesting and actually a great insight from another service starting up and making a podcast.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't believe that it's already the last episode of this series for our
podcast. I know, it's been crazy.
Yeah, I've loved every minute of it, though, I must say. It's been really great hearing about all the books that you've been reading, even though most of the books you read are a lot more intellectual than the ones I bring to the table. but taking part in the bingo challenge has been really enlightening as well. Do you think it's changed your reading habits?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I don't know if you would agree, but I think that being set that challenge of having to read outside of your comfort zone, as one of our episode titles is, I think it's just really opened up a whole, even if I haven't read as big a variety of books as I'd wanted to, my mindset on reading is completely different, and I feel myself going out and looking for something, as opposed to picking up a name that I've heard before that is a classic. I find myself going through borrow books, especially, actually, and just seeing, out of the things that are available, reading their blurbs, seeing what takes my eye, as opposed to normally I would just go to the classics section and pick something like that out, or find a book that I'd already heard of that people had said was good. So I've actually really found that it's made me much more open to exploring titles. What about you?
Yeah, kind of the same thing, really. I mean, I've got ridiculous amounts of books in my house. I think I've got over 400 books scattered around my tiny weeny little flat, so... Not much more space for me and my fiance, but there we go. But yeah, definitely, obviously using that and using BorrowBox and having kind of the theme to almost narrow down the selection, really. And yeah, like you said, leading you towards something you may not necessarily have picked up on straight away, but I've definitely been really, really surprised. I mean, I always try to do some kind of a reading challenge. I normally do the Goodreads one that they do every year where you set your own book target. But it's really cool to do one where it's actually kind of guiding you as to what kind of book you should be reading next. And yeah, I'm really trying to read, like you were saying, out of your comfort zone. And it has been really enlightening, and it's kind of opened my eyes to different genres and different kind of authors. And yeah, I've really, really loved every minute of it. And I definitely recommend just any kind of book challenge just to sort of encourage you to read something a bit different. Because I do think you can get stuck in a rut of you're just reading the same genre. So then you sort of fall out of love with reading if you're just, you know, experiencing the same sort of stories all the time.
Oh, completely. I agree. And I mean, I don't know if it's because I'm only a few years out of uni, but I completely lost any kind of enjoyment of reading through kind of forcibly having to read hundreds and hundreds of pages of things every week. And I'm really kind of, this has really encouraged me to take the time and use it almost as a form of self-care. And I think that pulls in, not to just keep name dropping our podcast, but that pulls in the reading for wellness and all of the kind of escapism that comes with reading. And I think it's been a really great way to explore that and kind of how I can incorporate that into my daily routine and things like that. And I've really, yeah, it's been great. I think starting a podcast and us learning all of that, and then starting a book challenge and us getting all of these kind of new titles has almost been a bit of a very enjoyable baptism of fire where it's just all been thrown at us and we've just really taken it on. And I think we can both say that this has definitely been an experience that will really stick with us and that it will carry through into the future.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely. It's definitely been really great. And also, you know, during these weird times, it was that sense of, there's still that sense of community and, you know, there's still a bit of stability where we're still being given these tasks to read this book before the next podcast. So you're still, you know, there is still that challenge and that goal that has an end to it. Because obviously at the moment, we don't know if there's ends to anything really. So that's been really good. I'm going to ask you a question that I actually asked Callum on his interview. I'm really interested to hear what you think. So what has been your favourite bit about creating this podcast, and what has been, for you, has been the hardest bit?
My favourite bit of the podcast definitely has been creating the episodes. I think we've really just been allowed to be creative and explore as much as we could do in this first series, and we've talked to so many interesting people. And it's just been an absolutely great way to kind of get to know lots of things in a really short period of time. And I would say my most challenging thing was probably getting the books finished in time. Purely on the basis of I was very big on BorrowBox and pretty much chose all of my books on BorrowBox so that I could listen to them while I was working. But a lot of the time I didn't check how long they were. And so I would often find myself, you know, the few hours up to us recording, finishing the last few hours of the audiobook in order to do my review. And you know, although I was really enjoying it all, I think that I wasn't organized enough and I didn't check the timings, and so that did present a challenge for me. What about you? Same question.
So yeah, I've really enjoyed obviously working with you, but yeah, definitely definitely the various interviews that we've had with different people. I think because the subjects have been so different each time, like you said, I've learned so many new things in such a short amount of time and met some really great people, so that's been really, really lovely. And yeah, just being able to kind of talk about reading in a really non-judgmental way, it's been really nice just to kind of reaffirm this is why we love reading. Yeah, and kind of all the books, I have enjoyed reading them, but I enjoy reading most books, even if it's a book that I don't enjoy the actual book. I enjoy that exploration into why am I not enjoying this book, and maybe, you know, I love it when somebody gives me a book that they absolutely love and then maybe it's not something that I click with, and I think, yeah, this is why I love reading so much, is because there is always somebody that is in love with that book and that author is writing for that reader. And I think that's always a really great thing to know. For me, challenges, as I said to Callum, was kind of tech challenges that we had as a obviously we're all working remotely, so there were quite a few hiccups that we had. And yeah, kind of reading the books, but I think for me that was procrastination more than I chose really long books. I tend to do exciting things like cross stitching and yeah, so But yeah, I think even though there were some challenges, it's definitely been worth it. It's been so much fun.
Oh, I agree. And I mean, like, we have fun every single week. And, you know, big shout out to our editor, Paul, who has had to put up with us bumbling our way through quite a lot of this. And so, you know, we're very grateful to him for that.
Yes, absolute trooper. So we hope that you've enjoyed the podcast as much as we have enjoyed making it. Once again, we would love any reviews or ratings would be greatly appreciated. Any comments that you have, you can pop on our social media on Twitter and Facebook, which is at Essex Libraries. We also now have a new dedicated email address, which is reading@essex.gov.uk. And we'd love to hear any of your suggestions for further maybe series or one-off episodes. Any kind of discussions that you would like us to do, we would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. It's been such a pleasure to put these podcasts together for you, and we hope to see you soon. Bye.
See you soon. Bye.